you for who you are, the King of Kings, the supreme monarch of the universe. We honor you, we adore you. Oh, the Most High God. There was no God before you, and there shall not be anyone after you. The self-existing one, the El Shaddai, the El Elyon, the Most High God, the soon coming King, he that was dead and behold is alive forevermore, alive to save, alive to heal, alive to deliver. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Blessed be thy name. We magnify your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. Thank you, Prince Tim. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you for an opportunity like this to have fellowship one with another and also with you. Thank you, Lord, for your manifested presence. Because your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. My Lord and my God, we thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity and privilege. O Lord, Father, to be in the midst of your children this day. I ask that you speak through me to your people. Lord, unto edification in the name of Jesus. Lord, for as many as are here, they have burdens. Lord, we leave those bodies at the feet of Jesus today. By the time they leave here, they'll be relieved, they'll be joyful and happy, and refreshed and relieved in the name of Jesus. Thank you, faithful God. Vindicate your word. Let your name, Lord, be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Welcome you all to this session of the service in Jesus' name. It's a great privilege to be in the presence of God, because in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. If you have any burden, throw it at the feet of Jesus. You will exchange your sorrow for joy. Praise the Lord. He will give you joy instead of sadness. He will give you fulfillment instead of confusion. Praise God. Lord, I laid my heart to share with you a topic today called stewardship and giftings. Stewardship and giftings. Who is a steward and what is stewardship? A steward is somebody who manages somebody else's property responsibly. It is generally refers to the responsible management and care of something entrusted to one's care. A steward is just a manager. A steward is not the owner of the business or property or whatever has been assigned to his or her care, but a steward manages what belongs to somebody else. Stewardship is a way of life that goes against conventions of egoism, you know, talking about self, self, self. Stewardship is not about self at all. It's about pleasing someone else. The story of Ananias in the Bible and Sapphira teaches us that we need to be truthful and trustworthy in the management of God's resources under one's care. So, biblical stewardship positions God as the owner of the universe and even you. He created you and he owns you. So he is the owner. And everything that you are and all that belongs to you belongs to him. That is at the center of stewardship.
Stewardship means that we fully acknowledge we are not our own, but belong to Christ, the Lord, who gave himself for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, the Bible says this: you were bought with a price. So then, honor and glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Who is a steward? Yourself and myself, because we are children of God. We have been bought with a price. And the Bible specifically said we have not been bought with precious metal like gold or silver. No, but with the blood of the Lamb. 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19 says that, for ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's the mystery of our redemption. Because sometimes we think we just own ourselves because we like to claim independence. I am whom I am. It's what I want to do, I will do. But you see, if you realize that you are just a steward of God, if you realize that God owns you and that he paid a price for you, then you behave very responsibly. In stewardship, it is of utmost importance to recognize God as the owner of all things, including the cattle on a thousand hills. Psalm 24 tells us that the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. God owns all. He owns everything, including me. I don't owe myself. That's why I'm accountable to him. In Revelation 4, verse 11, the Bible says this: thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Think about that. God created you and I for his own pleasure. We are not just thinking about the moon and the stars and the planets and all the universes and the galaxies upon galaxies, but you, he owns me. There was a young boy who felt that he was depending too much on the father, and he wanted independence. I'm of age. I don't want to be controlled by my father. So the father told him that, look, son, there is no absolute independence. You can't be independent in all ways. If you leave my house and you go and rent an apartment, you are going to be under somebody, the landlord. If you are working in a company and you are not the owner, somebody is your boss. Somebody is your supervisor. Therefore, you receive instruction from that supervisor. In that case, you are not completely independent. You can't just do what you want to do. Even as Christians, we have now found from the scriptures we are not just completely independent too. There is no absolute freedom anywhere. We depend on God. He's our creator, he's our owner, he is our redeemer, he's our savior. Praise the Lord. Yes. So that scripture says once again that, look, he created all things for his own pleasure. They are and were created. So we should remind ourselves that, look, God created me for his own pleasure, not for my own pleasure. My will is supposed to be subservient to God's will in my life. If you are crucified with Christ, you are a brand new creature. Jesus Christ is not only your Savior, but he becomes your Lord. There are many, many people who say they are Christians. It's true that Christ has saved them, washed away their sin. So they know Jesus, they know God as Savior. But how many know him as Lord? How many know him as Master? If you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Master, then you will never always do your will, but his will. Amen. So in stewardship, we recognize that we don't own ourselves. And we have a master to please, and he is the Lord. Biblically, stewards of God only manage what God, the owner, has entrusted to us for his benefit. It's only what he has given me that I'm a steward of. We and all that we have belong to the Lord. This is the absolute truth. This includes both material and spiritual blessings. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 to 2 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful, even as ministers of the gospel. Evangelists, prophets, apostles, bishops, whatever. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. Apart from the mysteries of God, the giftings of God. Apart from the giftings of God, the material possession that you have, even your own physical body, he owes you. A faithful steward is someone who diligently manages and uses the resources, opportunities, and giftings entrusted to him or her by God with a focus on serving him and others. Stewardship is not about self at all. It's about serving God and serving others. We are going to read the parable in Matthew chapter 25, 14 to 30. The parable of the talents. Jesus gave this parable to teach us some principles about stewardship. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, 5. To another, I just gave 2 talents. And to another, 1. To every man, according as his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Then, and likewise, he that had received 2 talents, he also gained another 2 talents. Multiplication. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his lost money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so, he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. Say, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things, enter into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents and came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Praise God. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. There thou hast thy talent. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and I gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which had 10 talents. For unto every one that had shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that had none shall be taken away even that which he had. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. The parable of the 10 talents, of the talents. One thing we notice in this parable, that the master gave to the servants or stewards, he can exchange servant for steward. One, he gave one 5 talents. Then he weighed the other one and said, okay, I give you 2. Why did he give one 5 and he gave one 2 and then another one, just 1? Because of their several abilities. God knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. He knows what I can do. He knows what I cannot do. So God doesn't make mistake in the gifting that he has endowed you with. I mean you, yes. Whatever kind of gift you think you have, God gave you. And we're going to see from scripture that there are some that are temporal. There are some that are spiritual gifts. There are some that are even talents and natural. Without being a Christian, you can have some giftings. Yes, but when you become a Christian, you deploy all to the glory and praise of the Most High God. Praise the Lord. So, that talent was a lot of money that the master gave to the servants. It was said that a talent was a large sum of money, about 6,000 denarii. That was the wage. Denarii was the amount somebody received in a day, the average worker. So 6,000 of that was what a talent was. I gave 1 5 talents. So a lot of money. You can think about that. Then the other one, 2 talents. They both profited. They both traded with their talents and multiplied. There was increase. And there was commendation. But the one that hid his own talent was not commended. Rather, the master rebuked him. Say, you are wicked in the first place. If you were not wicked, the least you would have done would have been to give my money to the bankers. So that at my coming, because a long time the master stayed, at my coming, I would get some interest beside the principal. Beside the investment, but you wicked. And therefore, take that talent that he has and give to the others. And then he was cast to the outer darkness. May that not be our portion in Jesus' name. Remember, it's a parable. God has given you talents. He has given you giftings. And some of us, God has given us ministries. We are stewards of the ministries. of all this that God has given to us, and we are accountable unto him. Therefore, it matters how we handle these gifts and the resources God has entrusted to us. Now, at the end of the journey, there's going to be reward for those who have traded with their talents and profited the kingdom of God. If you trade profitably with your talents, you are going to enhance the kingdom of God on earth, and God will reward you abundantly. Revelation 22 verse 12 says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." 2 Corinthians 5:10 also says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done." So, what God rewards in stewardship is called faithfulness. Faithfulness is what God rewards us for. Imagine the one that had 5 talents. That's a lot of treasure in those days. 5 talents. And then another 1, 2 talents. Both traded and they got 100%, reward. And they brought to the master. But if you notice carefully in that parable, the reward for both servants, the profitable servant, the same. Have you checked that? Please take time to check it in your Bible. The commendation that God gave to the one with 5 talents is same commendation exactly that he gave to the one with 2 talents. This one is important because God will require of us according to what he has given to us. He's not going to judge me based on what he has not given to me. This is the reason why in Christendom there is no need for envy and strife. No need. Because what God has given to you is not what God has given to me. And what God has given to me is not what God has given to you. I am whom I am. You are who you are. We are all very unique in the sight of God. And that's how he has also given us gifts. Perhaps before we close today, you'll be able to recognize your gift. Because sometimes some people think that God has not even given them anything. They can only see what God has given to that sister and that brother. But me, it appears God didn't give me anything. But we're going to see from the scriptures that you are holding a treasure in your hand. It's just like the Lord asked Moses. When Moses was giving excuses after God had commissioned him, he said, "No, Lord, I can't talk. I can't talk. I can't speak." Oh, so you can't, you won't go for the ministry I've called you to because you can't speak. Okay, don't worry. Aaron is your brother. I'm going to make him your spokesman. Does that satisfy you? Okay. All right, so we'll give you an excuse. Generally, when God calls people into ministry, there's only one excuse or the other. One excuse or the other. If you are the one giving excuses, please stop giving excuses and just obey. Praise the Lord. It pays to serve Jesus on his own terms, not your terms. So we are going to be rewarded, but not the same reward necessarily. But the gifting that God has given to you, you will give account of it to God. Some people say, "What is this gifting?" Okay, we'll come to it shortly. What gifting has God given to you? We are going to read Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. 6-8. "Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorted on exhortation. He that giveth, let it do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Praise God. You can see these are gifts. You may not have recognized them as such, but that's the essence of this talk today. That you recognize what God has given you. What is in thy hand? Moses, just a rod. It's just an ordinary staff. Is it? Nothing. Just a rod. Oh, I see. Okay, throw that rod down. Throw it down. Moses threw the rod down, and it became a snake. This rod, this thing I'm holding. Okay, pick it up. And it became rod again. And you know very well that through that instrumentality of that staff, that rod, God wrought special miracles for the Israelites in their journey to the promised land. It was with that rod that he struck a rock. And when they lacked water, water came out in abundance and they drank that rod. It was with that rod he struck the Red Sea. And the Red Sea parted. And there was wall on this side and they passed through dry ground. And there are other things. With the same rod, he brought judgment upon the Egyptians because they would not let the people of God go. So, Moses had a rod. It's just ordinary rod. That's just all I have. So, identify, what is in thy hand, my sister? What is in thy hand, my brother? I'm talking to you now. It's not God talking to Moses. I'm talking to you as an individual. Begin to identify and reckon and recollect. Say, yes, God has given me this. I thought it was really nothing. But you're going to see that with God's blessing, you can use it to achieve great things for the kingdom of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. We see some other gifts there. Those gifts in the Romans, you find that it's not, you may not be baptized in the Holy Ghost before you have those gifts. Just take note of that. You are a Christian, quite right, born again, but you're not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can have any of those gifts. But these ones we are going to talk about now, the gateway to receiving this gift is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit before you can access them. And God is the one who will distribute to you according as your several ability to. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. For unto one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Let's read verse 28. That same, yes. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So you can see there's a mixture here. There's a mixture of both the natural gifting and the spiritual gifting in this passage. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it talks about the five ministerial gifts. Remember the topic, stewardship and giftings. Giftings. If you are not gifted in this way, you are gifted in another. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, it talks about how God has given some in the church generally, apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. God is the one that calls people into these ministries. No man calls himself ourselves into any of these ministries. God himself. He just gives you that calling. See, it's more like a calling. But these are called the ministerial gifts. There are the other gifts that every Christian or any Christian can receive by virtue of your being born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 to 11. We're also going to read that. 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 to 11. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So you can see a broad spectrum of the giftings that we can have. Whoever thought that there is what you call ministry of helps, You have, maybe some of you have that helps ministry. And maybe you didn't know, you didn't recognize. But today, I pray that God will open our eyes, will recognize. Don't call it just small gift, like that wicked servant did. He just went and buried it. No multiplication and no benefit, you know, whatsoever to the master. Don't hide your talent. Apart from these gifts, there are also these natural, purely natural ability that God has given to people. Talents, generally. Talents are the skills, mental strengths, and abilities that come naturally to one and give one competitive advantage over others. You just find that God has given you this gift and you didn't learn it from school. Nobody taught you. You just find yourself good at that. What you can do if you have such natural gift, we are going to take note of some of them, is that you develop it and use it to the glory of God as children of God. Let's give examples of talents that you may know that God has also given you talents and gifts and callings. Singing talent. We thank God for the praise team in this church. You are doing a very wonderful job. They bring God's presence down through ministration in songs. They are music ministers, and God is using them. But perhaps there are other people who have not yet enlisted into the praise team, whereas they are material for the praise team. Such people, what's happening? Discover your talent. Praise the Lord. And use it to the praise and glory of God. Amen. Ability to read fast. There are some people, your reading passage, your ability to read very fast. Some people are so gifted like that. Say, we went to the same school together, same class, and all that. But if I'm reading, I read very slowly. But if you read it, very fast. This one will be a good journalist. You know, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. Those are natural giftings. When you are now a child of God, you can use those giftings for the expansion of the kingdom of God. Amen. Don't just say, it's secular. Uh-huh. What has journalism got to do with the house of God? You will soon discover there are creative ways. In fact, there are some people even endowed with creativity. They bring something out of nothing. Something is not existing. But say, this idea, if I do things like this, if I do this, it will bring glory and honor to the Lord. There are people like that. They just have creative ability. Some are good at playing musical instruments very well. Not because they went to school, but because possibly they just saw people and they just took on from their parents or their siblings and they find themselves very good at it. And people begin to wonder, where did this boy, this girl go to school? No school. It's God's blessing. Amen. Some are good at drama, acting drama. Yes. You may think, what has drama got to do with the house of God? Drama, if well presented, can bring glory and honor to the Lord, can lead to salvation of souls. There are people who produce drama today. We thank God for Mount Zion Film Production Company. I enjoyed so much their films and drama in those days. And they were very helpful in raising up my children at that time. Today, there are short versions of those same films and drama. It takes creativity because today people are so busy. They don't have so much time to watch long, long drama, long, long films. So they now abridge them. And the message will still just be there. It takes creativity. They are endowed with those gifts. And so they can create such short ones. Just 5 minutes. They have done a drama presentation and the message is there and clear. Beside that one, we find that what so many actors used to do, they are producing a film. One or two people now produce such kind of drama. On social media, if you are careful, you find that one or two people, the way they were arranged, you'll be surprised. Where are the actors? Just this, this, and that. And yet they're able to convey a message. These are giftings. Artwork. What can artwork do in the house of God? Have you seen children's Bible? Don't you see how well decorated they are? And that is intentionally done. Because children, they like pictures and they like, artistic things like that. And so in children's Bible, for example, artists, they draw things and they illustrate. They just bring to life the word of God that they are reading. So those are contributions. Those are things. Children ministry. There are a lot of artistic things you can do to enhance the learning of the little ones. So are you so blessed? Just be creative. It's not necessarily what one has done before. But if you are creative like God Almighty Himself, you create something good. And people will say, wow. Cooking. Some people are good at cooking. Do we cook in the church? Yes, we do. During special occasions, we have sisters cooking and bringing food and all that. And maybe you want even to teach younger children. Elderly sisters, the Bible enjoins them to teach the younger wives how to keep their homes. Possibly how to cook good meals for their husbands too. So, creativity. There are some good at memorizing. It can memorize anything. It can be poems. It can be historical stuff. But we, as children of God, the Bible is there for us. There are people who have memorized passages in the Bible. Adults, they can remember. They can quote them often. I can't do that. But if you are so gifted, you find that you'll be so good at that, and it will enhance your ministration. Praise God. Some are good at writing. It's not everybody who can write, but some are so gifted at writing. What are you waiting for, my brother, my sister? Sister, write tracts. Sister, write books. It's so very easy to write books these days with the help of AI and other technological assistants. You can write books. Can I tell you, I've written my autobiography, my own, within space of about 1 week. I've written it. It's already published. No question of whether it will be future. It's through technology and all that. Praise God. So, are you so gifted? Please deploy your gifts for the kingdom of God. Some are good at mastering languages, even earthly languages. They are very good. I remember those days when we were growing up, there's a particular ministry. They will teach people French. They will teach people Spanish and all that. When they are training them, they will say, oh, who wants to go for Spanish? Who wants to go for Italian language or any other language? I used to get surprised. What of what relevance is that? I didn't know. They were just grooming such people for missions. In missions, you go to places where you have never been, possibly where the gospel has never been preached. You don't have the language, but if you learn the language, you are able to communicate. Even right here, I've had need for people who understand Spanish to help me follow up some Spanish converts. But alas, no one. I ask and ask and ask, no one. So if you are so blessed, you are bilingual, you are able to learn such languages, you'll be of a great advantage interpreting crusades and conferences and all that, and even translating, you know, books and messages into other languages. It's of great advantage if you can do that. Creativity, mechanical skills, organizational ability, entrepreneurship, quick learning, very fast at learning new things, logical reasoning, music composition, graphic designs, decorations, marketing skills, etc., etc. Can I call you Moses today? What is in thy hand? Don't tell me it's just a rod. God proved him that it was not just an ordinary rod. It was much more than that. So, all these talents can be channeled toward the growth of God's kingdom. Praise the Lord. So, identify your gifting. Now, I was telling you about mercy. Do you know that showing mercy is a special gift that God has given to some people? All of us, we are supposed to be merciful to brothers and sisters and even enemies. But do you know that there are some people that is like, that's what they are just called to do in this life. Children of God, they show mercy. Not because they are rich, but because they are just full of mercy and compassion. Are you such a brother or sister? Identify the rod in your hand. Okay, what about giving? Giving. Ordinary will say, but everybody gives now. Everybody gives. Before I talk about giving more, let's talk about mercy. If you have this gift, because we read it among all those passages, you are very sensitive to the hurts of people. If people are experiencing hurts, it's as if that is happening to you. You can't just stay without intervening and see how you can help to relieve that hurt. If you have the gift of mercy, there you are. Sensitive to the hurts of people. Have acute awareness of other people's emotions, such as loneliness. They are able to decipher. Other people may not care, or they have so many concerns. But people with gift of mercy, they are able to do that. They draw people. They are drawn to people who are hurting. And they have unusual capacity to understand the feelings of those in distress. Yes. Identify the rod in your hand. They recognize the signs of stress and distress in other people easily, more than others. Let's talk about helps. There is ministry of help. It takes action at meeting physical and practical needs of others, rather than just talking or planning how to help. Those with ministry of help, they go swing into action. There was a lady in the Bible. Who can remember the name of that lady who was fashion designer? Huh? What? Lydia? Dorcas, thank you. Dorcas was known for her mercy and kindness. She belonged to the ministry of health. She was sewing clothes and many clothes for brethren. She did that one. Everybody got to know her for that. So one day they said she was sick and she died. Brethren said, no, Dorcas cannot die. Impossible. And with united faith and trust in God, they brought her back to life because they couldn't afford to miss that lady. Are you such an influence in the body of Christ? Examine yourself. They are happy at doing things for people in need, very sensitive to the needs of other people in the body of Christ. They are acute awareness of physical needs of others, and they enjoy little things that help people. Thank God there are people like that in this church. I know them. They know themselves. But maybe there are others who have not yet discovered themselves, and that is why a talk like this, it will help you to discover the rod that is in your hand. What about hospitality? Hospitality is one of those giftings there. Those who are hospitable, they enjoy entertaining guests at home. They enjoy it. They don't wait to be instructed. They even look forward to such opportunity. They are able to make strangers feel at home. They enjoy reaching out to new people in church and community. You know yourselves. There are some who have been actively doing that. Perhaps there are some. It's not yet clear to them whether that's their calling or that's their special ability. I pray that God will speak to you through this in Jesus' name. And they like meeting visitors at church and make them feel welcome. Such people, they have the spirit of hospitality. They have the ability to make strangers feel comfortable in one's home. Remember, it pays to be hospitable. Abraham was hospitable. He was called Abraham. He was hospitable to strangers. He saw them. Said, these people, they have been working for a long, long time. Please come in, come in, come in, come in. Sarah, prepare something and let these people refresh. Wash their feet and all that. Then when they settled down, one of the visitors, now declared to Abraham that within a year, that they were going to have a child. God gave them that promise. And it took a long time, 25 years before it happened actually. But God gave that promise to Abraham during such ministration, during such hospitality. God appeared in human form, in other words. That's what we call theophany, God appearing in human form. The other two were angels. So God can appear and disappear because he's God. Amen. And Lot also was hospitable, even to the angels that came to Sodom and Gomorrah. No wonder he was spared. And his family, even though Lot's wife looked back, but he extended hospitality, and God blessed him for that. So let's talk also about exhortation. Anybody can, if you know you have these attributes, then you can be an exhorter. Have natural tendency to encourage others. Can identify those in need who need encouragement. And thinks about how to comfort and encourage others in the congregation. They welcome opportunities to help people who need comfort, consolation, and encouragement and counseling. And they encourage others unto Christ-likeness in the church. Remember, even in the early church, when Apostle Paul had an encounter with God, it was called Saul. But when he had an encounter with God, God first led him to Ananias, was prayed for, he received his sight. But for him to be incorporated into the church of God at that time, the body of Christ, it was difficult. Is that not Paul? Is that not Saul? He say he's a believer? No. It must be 419. It must be a fraud. It must be scam. No, that man? No. But what happened? There was somebody with this ministry. Was it Barabbas? Barnabas. Barnabas was called Son of Consolation. He brought encouragement to the brethren and said, look, God has indeed visited this man. God has indeed transformed him. Please accept him. Whom God has justified, don't call him judge. You know, that kind of thing. That's how he was accepted in the body of Christ. Somebody played a role. So you too, maybe you are blessed with that kind of ministry. Please deploy it to the glory of God. Let me talk about leadership before I round up. Leadership and evangelism. If you find yourself possessing special ability to communicate the truth of salvation to other people, if you find yourself willing to do whatever it takes to bring others to Christ, if you find yourself having the ability to present the gospel to lost persons in such a way that they accept the lordship of Jesus Christ, if you find yourself feeling at ease sharing the gospel with unbelievers, like talking about Jesus to those who don't know him, if you find delight in that, possibly God wants you to work with the evangelism team in the church or anywhere you may be, because you have those blessings, those giftings, and God wants you to use them to promote the kingdom of God. Leadership. Are you a leader? Who is a leader? Let's see some of these traits. Having the ability to make critical decisions when necessary. You have the ability to guide subordinates unto maturity. You are a person of vision and being able to communicate it and make it a reality. You can identify where God wants a group to go and help it to get there. You can help others to perform their highest God-given potential. If you have these traits, there's leadership in you. Therefore, if there's any problem to be solved, you don't have to wait for any other leader somewhere when you are there. My brothers and sisters, I've just brought out this so that you'll be encouraged to identify the rod that's in your hand. God has endowed you with a gift or giftings. You need to recognize them and use them to the praise and glory of God. Qualities of a good steward. Remember, we are stewards first and foremost. Faithfulness, very cardinal. God is going to judge us based on our faithfulness to what he has given us, not what he has not given us. No need for comparison at all. You have to be diligent. You have to be trustworthy. You have to have wisdom. And you have to have a servant heart. That's what we call servant leadership. You need to have that. Mindfulness and discernment. You need to have that. Prayerfulness. They regularly seek God's guardians by acknowledging their dependence on him. Generosity. They are willing to share resources with others with compassion, knowing that God owns all. They are only just caregivers or caretakers. Even your children, you are just taking care of them. Train them up in fear and nurture of the Lord. Contentment. They are content with God's provision, avoiding greed and envy. Accountability. They are conscious. They will give account to God concerning how they have managed what God has entrusted to them. Before Jesus left, he said we should occupy till he comes. Occupy doing what? Doing the business of soul winning. That is the centerpiece of the church. The church made three purposes. One, to glorify God. Glorify God, worship God. Like praise team always does. They lead us to worship God. That is primary responsibility of the church. Secondly, to minister to the body of Christ. Minister to one another, horizontal. You know, interpersonal relationship. Minister to one another. And then, thirdly, to minister to the world around them, the unbelieving world. Three, one, two, three. These are the three principal functions of any church or the church. Even as an individual, we should be careful to know that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save sinners. And so whatever we do, whatever we have, let's channel it towards soul winning. God is well pleased when we do so. May the Lord help each and every one of us in Jesus' name. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters who have heard me and those who are hearing online. I pray, oh Lord, they come out of their shells. They will not bury their talents anymore. They will not commonize what you have given them and say, it's just a rod. It's just a staff that I have. Lord, let them see beyond the staff that they have. Lord, let help them to recognize and to swing into action, to do what you have called them to do. And know that there's a great reward, oh Lord, for doing what you have called us to do. May we all receive a glorious welcome after all is said and done, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Is there anybody, you are hearing me, you have not given your life to Christ? Jesus loves you dearly. Bow down your head where you are. Acknowledge you are a sinner. acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And if you confess your sin, he will forgive you. Talk to the Lord. Ask him to have mercy on you. You are a sinner, but you need a Savior. He will not turn you down. He will forgive you. No matter how bad you think you are, no matter how sinful you think you are being, no matter how hopeless you think the situation is, the Lord will save you. You're like that woman caught in adultery, said, go, I forgive you. Go and sin no more. May you find acceptance today and be a child of God in Jesus' name. Is there anybody who is sick? I speak the word of God unto you. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Because the power to save is the same power to heal, same power to deliver. Wherever you are, you have an oppression in your body, lay your hands there. Receive healing now in the name of Jesus. Be set free. When the Son of Man set free, is free indeed. You are free. Have faith in God and claim what rightly belongs to you. Healing is the children's bread. God bless you all in Jesus' name.